Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Pastor Joe Schimmel, how are we doing today?
Fighting the good fight, bro, not letting COVID-19 get us down.
You know? Amen, amen. Amen. Also with us, as always, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm sheltered in place and under his grace.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right there. The one artistic one out of the three of us. Congrats there, Tony. Praise the Lord. Now, we are really excited to be able to continue to get together as we are and continue to develop content and hopefully just continue to bring the truth to you guys with everything that's going on. And, you know, when it comes to Blessed Hope Chapel and Good Fight Ministries, Joe has been doing a number of messages on Sundays and Wednesdays that hopefully are a major encouragement to you guys. And in fact, before we even get into COVID-19 and some of the stories that are going on in the news, I wanted to point you guys to goodfight.org. There is a new article that I'd love for you guys to check out, but we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but I wanted to point that out in the beginning of the episode, that guys, go to goodfight.org. There's an article called The Shepherd in the Coronavirus, and I would love for you guys to check that out, and I'll give a little more detail about what that is a little later. And we also had a number of emails and people texting even and writing Facebook Messenger asking about the launch party. Guys, we are still going to do a digital launch party, which still makes a lot of sense for a digital radio station that's supposed to be worldwide. It's not supposed to be. It is a worldwide radio station, and we're still going to do that. And Tony, hopefully this week, we'll have a new flyer out for the date and time, and we'll get this out digitally for you. And guys, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, we're waiting for those apps to get prepared. So,
and that's the final step. Tony had some bugs that he worked out for you guys, and you guys, we mentioned on the last episode, or not last episode, but last week, one of last week's episode, some of the things he had to work out, and we did work them out, praise the Lord. And now it's time to hopefully get this thing launched again, and you guys can help us by sharing not only when we get the flyer out, sharing that flyer, but also sharing when it happens on the live feed, because we will be recording some live episodes. And some of the provisions that we're making in terms of, in case something happens where we get locked down, we're going to be putting a studio in a makeshift studio. We actually bought some new stuff for it in Joe's office, just in case stuff happens. We're going to do everything we can to continue to be an encouragement to you. So I know that means a lot to Joe, and it means a lot for Tony and myself and the rest of the body here. I know the elders at Blessed Hope Chapel, we want to make sure that you guys are still getting into the word with us and that you guys still are encouraged and as much fellowship as we can give you, whether digitally or some of you guys. I know I asked the question and we had a ton of people say, hey, I'm having a few people over at my house still, or hey, I'm just staying digitally and with my family, and you guys are getting to spend a lot of time with your family. And we just praise God for that, and we pray that we can continue to bring you guys content that will encourage you through all of this. And that's what this episode is going to be about today. We're going to be hopefully encouraging you with whatever you're going through, that the Lord, he is so good, and he is our shepherd. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the craziness that's going on with COVID-19. Obviously, we need to recognize that there are some pretty crazy things happening out there, not just with people getting infected, people passing away, you know, so many people be, I mean, the United States, supposedly, I don't really believe the numbers in China whatsoever, but supposedly the United States now, as of today, recording this episode, has passed any other country for the amount of positive tests. Now, that also will coincide with we've probably tested a lot more people than a lot of the other countries. But nonetheless, we had just passed that up. So, I mean, that's pretty incredible that that's going on here. And we had it at a later date than some other countries. But we are bigger and a lot more vast, and those things are going to happen. But some people are just not taking it seriously. I'm sure some of you guys have heard about what happened with NBA All-Star Rudy Gobert touching all the microphones, joking about it before anyone really knew what was going on. Then next thing you know, he tests positive and shuts down the NBA. Then his teammate tests positive. Then another other team that he played, the player who was guarding him on 56 of the 61 plays or something like that, he tests positive. And then you have four players from the Nets test positive. You have two players from the Lakers test positive. And now everyone's like, whoa, what's going on here? And should this be taken seriously? Then, just a day ago, guys, a day from this recording, a young man, 26-year-old Cody Lee Pfister, posted a video on Snapchat of him licking deodorant bottles at Walmart while he says, quote, "Who's scared of coronavirus? Don't touch your mouth." And then licks those bottles in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, I don't care if coronavirus or whatever's going on. I would not be a happy camper if I see some dude licking deodorant bottles. But nonetheless, he actually, and don't think this is something that just got away, no big deal. First of all, it's been viewed over 4 million times on Snapchat. And he was actually arrested and charged with second-degree terrorist threat. It's no joke. They're not putting up with this. And so this guy is arrested for thinking he was being funny. And he's not the only one. There's been people posting videos that I just cannot believe. And something Tony had mentioned before, that this has really put a spotlight on depravity for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And you look at the senators. I think it was four different senators that right after a meeting warning about what was going to happen with coronavirus, the first thing they do is what? Get a hold of their stockbrokers, right? And start selling their stocks off.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Because they knew it was going to crash. I think it was four, right? Dianne Feinstein, another woman from Illinois.
A couple of Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the stuff you see online, but I did see an image and I was hoping that it was true, but you never know with the internet. But it was an image of the Bibles at Walmart and they were almost completely sold out. So I do hope, and Ecclesiastes, which we've been going over that book now for, I forget how many years now, blessed hope, but praise God. I love Ecclesiastes.
Had a break for 6 months, but
nonetheless,
a little bit longer.
It's a great book. And you know, it's very clear, you know, that it is better to be in a place of mourning than a place of feasting. You consider where you are. And I think, and I'm praying, not just thinking, I am praying that a lot of people right now, as we're speaking, are thinking and considering exactly where they are and that God has set eternity on their hearts. There's something after this life and they got to make sure they're right with their maker, you know, and, one of the things that Joe's been doing over and over again is encouraging you guys on the Sundays and the Wednesday messages. And I do want to encourage you to check out the live feed for Blessed Hope Chapel. Please check that out. And those things, it's available on podcast or
live stream.
Yeah. Live stream. It's available on Boxcast. And someone actually thanked us for explaining how to go on Boxcast to get the download on the feed. So yes, Tony, could you explain how to get to the Boxcast so they can download it? Because you can watch any message that's any recent message on there. So if we could explain that one more time.
Oh yeah. Well, if you have Apple TV or Roku, you would just go where you would download other apps and you would just do a search for Boxcast. That's Boxcast. And then just download the app. It's free. And once it loads, then you just open the app and everything is listed in alphabetical order. It's mostly churches. So you just go to the B's and you find Blessed Hope Chapel. It's got the same graphic as our website, so you'll recognize it right away. And then go to any message that's in the past. You can watch anything that's all archived there, up to a year, I believe. And then on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, you can actually watch live.
Yeah.
So a lot of people use that because it's easier to deal with on their TV, but then they have their phone or iPad out because they like the
comments,
the encouragement, yeah, you know, between believers on the Facebook feed, where you can chat with everybody. So it's a good combo to do it that way.
Yeah, and that's been awesome. And you know what's cool is a lot of the people that normally are here on Sundays sitting in the pews are commenting as well. And they're getting to see all the encouragement from a lot of the believers that have found us online. And I know someone was asking for prayer last night, and that's a typical thing. Actually, multiple people were asking for prayer for certain specific things that were going on. And that's something that's happening right there on the live feed, that we're able to do that. And right there, when I get that message, when somebody writes that or puts that on a post, that's the first, I'm going to pray right now. I'm not going to wait and put it on, write it down. I'm going to pray right now for that person. And that's something that we're doing as a body. So yeah, get involved. And one of those messages, Joe, you just recently did, you mentioned Luke 13. And for you guys, please go check that out. And Tony will put a link for that one specifically.
That was the main text we studied, yeah, Luke 13.
And in Luke 13, and now you've used that text, and I've used that as well when explaining it ever since. And I think it's been a long time since I first heard you bring up that text. And it was concerning someone who committed suicide, and that the Lord helped you to know exactly how to address it because of this text. So that's a little bit of backdrop before you dig into what the meaning is there.
No, that's a pretty heavy backdrop, because I was wrestling with the Lord through the night in prayer. Lord, how do I address this situation? Somebody from outside the fellowship had committed suicide. They asked me to do the funeral, and it was like, Lord, I don't know where this person was at. I know that, you know, you have to die in the faith according to the scripture. And I don't know where this person was at, if, you know, in the last minutes of their life. I have an idea, but I'm not going to be able to pass judgment. I mean, I'm sure if the guy, one of the thieves on the cross who repented and came to Jesus at the end, his daughter might have watched him, because both thieves were just, you know, hurling disgusting things at Jesus. And if you read the Gospels, but if you read, I think in Luke, he comes to repentance. You know, and I sometimes think, wow, if this guy had a relative that was a follower of Jesus that saw him being crucified and saw what he was saying to Jesus and left in disgust and sadness, thinking, man, say it was his daughter, she'd think, man, he's definitely going to be separated from God forever, you know. And she may not know, hypothetically speaking, until she read the gospel, you know, or someone let her know, hey, that was really privy to the situation, that he turned to the Lord in the end. So we don't always know, but one thing I have a really hard time is when people are totally apostate and they're in rebellion to God, and then the pastor goes up there and says, praise God, we're gonna see John in heaven, you know, or Matilda or whoever, you know. And your heart's like, wow, they just gave everybody a license to think that they could be in rebellion against God, you know? And that horrifies me. How much more does it grieve the Spirit of God to give that false message? So I was wrestling with the Lord, like, Lord, how do I deal with this situation? Because I need to point to you, and I need to address this person's situation. And not knowing, you know, the specifics of the last minutes, I was able to go to this text. I woke up in the morning after really seeking the Lord, and I woke up with peace in the scripture I believe the Lord gave me to address this situation with, because it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, it gave me such peace. You know what? In Luke 13, Jesus deals with two tragic situations and questions that are had by the observers. And rather than dealing with specifically what happened to these people and where they're at, he responded with a question of his own and said, hey, you need to make sure you have repented. You need to make sure you are right with God. And in Luke 13, yeah, we read, and we'll talk about that, because I'm glad in the way you brought that up. It says in verse 1, now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And I won't get into all the background of the text, because we spent a whole hour probably plus on this, but to say that we're not sure exactly what happened here, other than we do know that, you know, Pilate had caused a number of riots, and there were times where he was trying to make sure there weren't more uprisings, because we do know historically that there was trouble, and that if there was one more riot, he could be pulled from his position and so forth. So the idea that many have is that this was when he used water for the aqueduct that he built and took money from the temple, and it's theorized that there were people that were protesting from Galilee, who he had basically clubbed to death, a few of them, not necessarily intentionally. It's thought of that they came in civilian clothes, and some of the soldiers dressed that way and pulled out the clubs, and it went so far and so forth. And that some were surmising that, hey, these Galileans that were protesting this, even though he took money from the temple and robbed the temple, really wasn't robbery, because the temple, the water was used for, you know, the temple too, temple sacrifices to wash their blood down and everything else. And you know, these Galileans had it coming, you know, they were standing in the way of God and what have you. And it's interesting, because Jesus says, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? And some apparently thought that. And Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I use this by first quoting a couple of people that were speaking against Chinese people, saying they had it coming, you know, they deserved it, you know, and so forth. Then I found a couple of places where people were coming against Italians and saying, calling them WOPs, and saying, you know, they're the originators of gayness, and which is obviously not biblical. I know Tony's Italian over there, right? And think all of us got a little bit of that in us, maybe.
Yeah, less than I thought I did.
Yeah, he just found out he's more German, less Italian. He's got to start rooting for Germany in the World Cup now. So, so anyway, it's kind of a trip because some really strong quotes, you know, didn't take me long to find them. That's what really bothered me. I was like, wow, this is out there, you know, because people were saying these people groups are dying because of this.
Yeah.
And I could see Jesus saying to these same folks,
amen.
And my thing was, how do we respond to this? We respond by saying, hey, we're all sinners, you know, we all amen. Deserve to die. You know, there's a lot of great Chinese people that love the Lord. There's a lot of great Italian people that love Jesus. You know, I know a bunch of each, you know? So anyways, Jesus turns it on them and he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then I love it. Verse 4, he says, or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower of in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than the men who live in Jerusalem? Now, it's interesting. I love it because Jesus is so brilliant here. And he's always brilliant, right? He's perfect. He's God in the flesh, the Logos, man. Boom. He deals with the Galileans who are opposed to Pilate. Now, those who were building a tower, the Tower of Siloam, would have been for Pilate or hired and under his authority. And then he talks about, well, what about these? So it's the first group, it seems as though they brought to his attention. They did. This group he brings up as kind of like a counter. Well, what about these guys? You know?
Mm.
Or do you suppose that those, because there's other, those 18 who the Tower of Siloam had fell upon, these would be people that if you're for God, basically, you know, judging the Galileans because he's on Pilate's side. Well, what about those who fell, who were building the Tower of Siloam for Pilate? And basically, Jesus basically puts them in a checkmate situation. He's letting them know, really, you know, verse 5, I tell you, but unless you repent, he repeats it again, you will all likewise perish. Now, this Sunday, and when you've heard that, when our brothers and sisters have heard this, you know, this particular podcast, it will have been, what, the day after my message that is for us coming up this Sunday. You know? So it's kind of funny. But, we'll deal with the verses that follow, which are really heavy because he deals with the fruit of repentance,
awesome.
Which is pretty powerful. And I'm going to do a little series on repentance, you know, because I think that's what God's, I don't think, I know. Go through the book of Revelation when you see the end time.
Yeah, amen.
You know, the bowls and the trumpets being poured out. He's calling them to repentance.
Hmm.
And he wants us to repent. And we talked about the coronavirus. You know, some believe it's a direct judgment of God. Some believe it's the fourth seal. We know it's not the fourth seal. We know that all death is a consequence of the fall.
Hmm.
And it should always be a wake-up call. We can go at least that far saying, hey, this should definitely be a wake-up call. And I appreciate you, Chad, pointing that out, that, hey, you know, in Ecclesiastes, it's better to mourn, you know, go to a funeral, it says, than to a party. That's one translation. And it really is, because that's where you say, the Lord, you know, help me number my days that I might give an account of myself to you. So the Lord's calling us to repentance. And right now, this is a great opportunity because one of the points I made during that message, which, you know, the Lord really speaks to me through this text, is if you guys have followed our ministry, and I know a lot of you have for the years, we love apologetics. We love to give reasons ad ignosium, ad infinitum to believe in the Lord, you know? We try not to leave rocks, you know, we only have so much time, but we try to leave no rock, you know, unturned. And in doing so, we're about persuading people in the faith. And there's different aspects of faith. There's the intellectual persuasion side where we objectively come to faith because we're persuaded based on reason and facts and reality. Then there's the subjective side where we actually are the ones that lean into Jesus and put our trust in him. Subjectively, we put our trust in him. And what's interesting, though, is sometimes I've done this in the past to a fault, you know, where I've witnessed to people in the streets where I remember seeing a guy's eyes glaze over. I mean, I led him within the first 5 minutes, he was ready to turn to Jesus. He was talking about, yeah, I want to come to Jesus. I went on for 20 more minutes or something like that, giving him reasons, thinking I'm solidifying him his faith. Mm-hmm. And by that time, he lost interest. I was like, wait a minute, man. He seemed like, I mean, he was saying he's, you know, he'd love to pray to receive Jesus. I'm like, what did I say? And I thought, you know what? Sometimes, you know, you need to, and obviously God sees the heart, right?
Yep.
And I have to say this, I've got to, you know, his friends had come and they were in the background at that point. So that might've changed things a bit. My point is this, is we talk a lot about pre-regenerating grace, pre-salvific grace, prevenient grace, as it is often called in the Wesleyan tradition. We're not Wesleyan, but we appreciate a lot of the Wesleyan viewpoint. We don't believe in, you know, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, is sanctification, you know, and so forth. But there's a lot of good things that Wesley emphasized, and we praise God for that. But it's interesting, they use the term prevenient grace, you know, and that's a beautiful term. Even some Calvinists use that term, although they look at prevenient grace as being regeneration, basically, and whereby God regenerates you. We understand prevenient grace as that grace that goes before, whereby God convicts the sinner. And we talked about this recently in one of our podcasts, Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. We actually got on that word convict and how it's used throughout the New Testament of bringing people to Christ, you know, and he convicts the world of sin. So one thing we have to keep in mind, we have to be prayerful and we have to be pray for insight and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and then just do our best in the Lord, right? Because we're not going to ever do perfect, you know? And then when we're witnessing to people, recognize that more than likely, if you're praying for, and I pray for divine appointments, that God has, by his Holy Spirit, been convicting that person typically of their sin. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, you know? He's given them a conscience. He's given them the witness of creation. There's so many witnesses at work in this person's life where they're already having to deal with moral questions and God, and they're either suppressing the knowledge of the truth or they're opening themselves up and beginning to fear God or what have you. We don't know where a lot of people are at, and what we're called to do is let the Lord use us. Let him resurrect their consciences as we bring the law to them. The law leads, the school teacher leads them to Christ. They have that law written in their hearts through their conscience, Romans 2. And so the thing is, what Jesus does here, it's in a few short verses, man. Yeah. It's like he deals with two situations, two illustrations, gives two illustrations and two implications with regard to those illustrations. And he basically sets the hook. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I love it because we need to keep in mind, it says that he, now keep in mind, he has a head start. John 1:9 says he enlightens the heart of everyone that comes in the world. He's already in them, enlightening their hearts. He's been speaking to them for years. But before we get to them, he's been speaking to them already. You know, he's convicting them with the conscience, you know, and everything else we talked about and far more. He's goading them, you know, as Paul was being goaded, pricked, you know, kicked against the pricks, you know. He puts people in different nations, right, everywhere, and determines their times and their boundaries that they might grope after God and find him, even where they were put, you know. He's put eternity in their hearts that they might, you know, they might long after him, you know, grope after him, it says in Romans, so, or in the book of Acts. So we have to keep in mind the Holy Spirit's already at work. And you start praying for people, specifically praying for people, God, please work on their hearts. Please draw them to you. Is it God's will that all be saved? Yes. Mm-hmm. We pray according to his will. We have it. Does he convict the world of sin? Yes. You know, so does he want to draw them? Jesus said, if I be lifted, Son of Man be lifted up, he draw all men to himself. So we pray according to his will. And then when we start to share with people, we don't always. And now there's some people, yeah, you definitely need to get. I mean, there's a lot of people who've been converted, a lot of testimonies where it's like, man, you know what? This person spent a lot of time with me. I was a hardened atheist, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I believe in Darwinism. And this person took the time to show me it was wrong. And I had to humble myself. And I eventually, and you know what? Sometimes God, it's that way. But a lot of times, and I think more often than not, is people are already convicted deep down. They know they're in trouble, you know, and you give them the gospel and you tell them, unless you repent, you're going to perish. You'll see a lot more fruit from that than you would think. And I think we sometimes need to just, you know, get to the point, you need to get right with God.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's really interesting because you used the example of Paul, you know, kicking against the goads or the pricks, you know, it's pricking the side of him, trying to give him on the straight and narrow. And something my wife, you know, Holly, would say a lot when we would share the gospel with somebody is that something we would pray after we left was that they would not be able to sleep, you know, that night they had this talk about the eternal, they had this talk about who Jesus is,
amen,
and that when they went to go lay their bed, lay their head down on their pillow, that it would just be gnawing at them, their conscience bearing witness against them, you know, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And those are the things that, why would we not talk about those things? I know when I converted, it was knowing that I was against Jesus, he was not with me, he was against me, and understanding the gospel, that I had sinned. These things weren't just mistakes in the sense that, oh, I just, you know, I ordered the wrong pizza, you know, I meant to get pepperoni,
no,
I got
pineapple.
Cheese, no, yeah, definitely no pineapple. But no, these were an act of rebellion against my creator, against my conscience that is more witness against me. And I did those things, and judgment is due my name, and it has fallen on Jesus Christ, and if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved, you know? And so those are the things, there's, you know, everyone wants to preach around those things when look at Jesus right in the mouth, man. Mm. I love that text. And the Luke 13 text sticks out so much to me because you mentioned this, and I think about it with the suicide aspect, because after I came to faith, I had a couple of friends die. And I went to one of the services. This was a friend who was a non-believer. He was literally driving drunk over to sleep with someone who was not his wife, okay? And I go to the service, and I was so excited because right after I came to the Lord, I went to a different funeral service, and the guy actually preached the gospel to a bunch of my old friends that don't know the Lord. And I'm there, and I'm like, wow, there's like 500 people here, and all these people are going to hear the gospel. And I was so excited, and I literally heard the words, and I'll never forget it. They said his name. I won't say his name, but he said, if you love like he did, you'll be able to see him in heaven one day. And wow. I was like, I was like, this is the most disgusting act.
That's a works gospel too, man.
It's a works lie.
Yeah.
If you, he's a very loving guy, and if you love like him, you'll be able to see him one day. Not even like because Jesus died for your sins. Not even that. And I was so brokenhearted, and to wicked. Hear Jesus's answer be something so contrary to that message is not a surprise.
Yeah, I remember my mom had and pray for her. You know, she's in that age where God forbid she should get this sickness, but it was pretty crazy. I remember something that struck her so profoundly for years. She'd bring it up to me, almost she'd always have she kind of have like a faraway look because, you know, she was an RN, a nurse, you know, and obviously retired, but she would say, Joe, and she'd bring up, you know, a doctor that had died, and she went to his Catholic funeral. And she said, Joe, I knew this doctor, you know, nowhere close to Jesus, nothing, didn't follow the Lord at all. I had a pretty bad lifestyle, and the church, all these people were there, and the priest was talking about how he's in heaven right now, enjoying heaven. And she was so hurt because she's like, all those people that knew him think that they're going to be in heaven, you know? And it just broke her heart. And she brought that up probably 7 or 8 times to me through the years, you know, and just really, really heartbreaking. And that is a lot of people don't realize. And that's why Jesus said, unless you repent, you know, metanoia and metanoeo, talking about the verb and the noun, you know, literally means, you know, to have a change of heart, change of mind, change of will, total transformation of your will, your mind, your heart in regard to sin, and you make a decision to turn from sin, you know, and turn to God. And we briefly got in the definition of that because I want to spend some time on that. But today, right now, there are, and it's really, really heartbreaking. There are, I just saw a survey not too long ago as well, when people were asked, all kinds of people were asked, you millennials, about what repentance is, and not one of them got it right, you know. And I'll go through what they said in that survey, but you know what is being taught theologically? Well, from the pulpit, you don't even hear it. They just ignore it, you know? And repentance is a precursor to saving faith. You cannot have saving faith unless there's repentance. And we'll talk about that. And the scriptures, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. So if you can't have faith without repentance, because you have to repent or you're going to perish. And we'll see how that works later. But others are saying, no, repentance is just a change of mind. It's about a change of mind, about understanding who Jesus is. It has nothing to do with a decision to turn from sin. Or, yeah, it is turning from sin, but repentance has nothing to do with salvation. You know, you don't have to repent to have eternal life. I mean, there's all these false teachings about repentance when it's even visited. So a lot of these people that teach these different things about repentance don't preach it because you don't need it for eternal life, you know, or it's just change of mind. It's really the same as faith, so you don't hear it articulated, or they just ignore it. Or they think it's penance or something of that nature. So we're going to be dealing in the next weeks ahead with repentance. And then we encourage all of our audience to really hone in on these messages, because we know that you know what repentance is, because in the book of Revelation, repentance is emphasized in the end of days when all these terrible things happen and the people need to repent or they'll perish.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.